Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, this week I met somebody whom I had met earlier before. And this is a gentleman whom I knew was one of, at some stage, Kampala's high flyers, and, you know, soaring high. And now this gentleman, something happened to him, which just showed sometimes how you can be one day you're here and the other day you're there. Because he came and told me, way back, he came to my office, way back, he came for prayers. That in itself was a miracle. So I look at him and I'm shocked that he came for prayer. So he tells me that it was a bit of a corporate high flyer, you know, people who have probably gotten a lot of money from all sorts of places, illicit and properly. So he decides he wants to leave and go and start his own business. And he's sure about what he wants to do. And everything seems to be going on well. Now, he chose to go and grow red pepper. There was a time when there was a craze of red. You remember that craze? You know, there's a lot of hype farming in Uganda. Eh? Hype, it goes on social media, then everybody is doing it, then they get knocked, and then they come down, and you know. So anyhow, he went to grow red pepper. But his was more than hype, because he had the means. So he went and actually planted a very good quality and a very good quantity of red pepper. And he had a red market. He was supposed to export it to the European Union. And everything was going on well, but at the time of the harvest, just when he was going to harvest, and he had already prepared all the way of how it was going to be exported, and actually make a lot of money. You know, some of those things, I saw somebody the other day saying how they were buying an avocado somewhere in the Middle East at $20, one avocado. So some of those things, if you actually have the process to export them, you actually make a lot of money, especially those which come from our soils, which are very good. So his whole thing was done. You know, from here, I know I'm going to export it, then it goes through here, then it arrives here, then I'm paid like this. Everything was good. But then something weird happened. Apparently, just at that time, the European Union started questioning the quality of red pepper that was coming from Uganda. So they banned it. Just when he was beginning to harvest. So he was in confusion. So he first stopped the harvesting process and waited for the European Union to get over their issues. The buyers were there waiting, but you see, they can't go past the regulations of, you know, the body that they belong to. Anyhow, so he waited. Then eventually he realized that the paper was going to get spoiled. So he harvested it and sold it at a very big loss. Very, very big loss. He was going to make a very big profit. So eventually he did not even get the money that he invested. And so somebody came and offered to buy it and bought it. Now the interesting thing is, I think if I remember well, about 2 weeks after he had sold it at a loss, European Union finally opened for red pepper coming from Uganda. So when he told me his story, I said, man, the devil is a liar. You something, and you have your thing clearly made out there. And when he told me the business, it clearly was going to work. No two ways about it. The ban lasted a very short time, probably about 6 weeks. And then it was lifted, but it was too late for him. And then that was the end of his empire. So in that process, he comes to me and he wants prayer. So he had been through to this one, this person, you know, I have this thing. If you can just push me a bit here, I can now do this, you know. Now he had come from being in a state of certainty to now, you know, a bit of guia, and then also asking help from people. So he went with his name and went to some people whom he knew. And now that's a very unforgiving world, by the way, because he told me that when you'd go there and tell somebody, you know, I just need this amount of money and it would take me across this line and then I can pay you. The person looks at you. He wants to hear your story. So what happened? So you tell him, and say, unfortunately, I cannot help you. As soon as he would leave, that guy would call other people and say, man, this guy is finished. You know this guy here of what? Eh? And he's finished. So somehow, because of that, you know how those people, you know, you can be in, people know you to be a high flyer. Now when things are tight, eh, you kind of vanish and go. So he came to me for prayers. And then I looked at him, and that was some years ago. And I said, now how do I handle this? So I kind of went through the process of prayer and so on. But of course, nothing happened. Eh? But then there is something strange. When I looked at him, I saw somebody who actually had the anointing to prosper. And then I saw that the devil was just playing games on him. But this is somebody actually who had the ability to hold large sums of money. And you see, without actually offending anybody, there are some people who come to you and you know that there is a limit to beyond which they can't go. And don't be offended by that. These things are given by God. Praise the Lord. Amen? Some people are born and they are just born to be big. That's just the way it is. It's just like a zebra and an elephant are born almost the same size and they are all going to eat grass all their lives, but the elephant will end up bigger. And God determined that, and it cannot be changed. Okay? It's not like the zebra is vegetarian and the elephant eats meat. No, they all eat grass. But they are going to turn out bigger. But of course, you know, there is a way God equalizes. So I looked at him and I said, this is somebody who can actually prosper. So anyway, years go by, I don't see him. And so I knew that maybe he gave up on this God thing. And when I met him later, he told me that, man, I tried, I came for prayers, it wasn't working. Then this comes up, then it goes down, this comes up, it goes down. Now when I looked at him, of course, I could see he still had a bit of his size, eh? You know, the prosperity size. But I could see there was something which was missing. Eh? The other shine. You know, when you've had money, there was a shine which was not there, which he had before. So I knew things were still a bit tight. And I met him this week, so I knew things were a bit tight. But now he is consistently chosen to go and submit to God. Eh? Consistently. So I told him that when you came to me those years back, I realized you're just one of so many people who wants God to change their situations, but they do not want God to change them. But God wants to change you first. And afterwards, your potential can come out and you're actually able to handle it in a way that is of God. So I told him, so now the fact that, you know, now you're coming back, he says, yeah, he says, you know, those people, I stay away from them. I know the people he's talking about. Those people we used to go out with and, you know, they are all banene. So in his state, of obviously, he has to stay away from them. And I kind of know what he's talking about because I've been through a bit of a process like that. So I told him, don't worry about them. And then I told him, I'm not just telling you a story. I'm telling some of you some things. Okay? So I told him that the thing about God is when you come to him and he has to change your situation, the most important thing is to change you. And then once you have been changed, the situation around you changes automatically. Amen? So I told him, right now you're going through what I once called, you remember some years ago I talked about the valley of the shadow of death. Eh? So I told him that you're going through a process where I'm sure you have so many ideas. You wanted to tell me, I said, no, it's okay, you keep your ideas to yourself. But I'm sure you're going through a period of so many plans which have not yet come to pass. It was clear, of course, they hadn't, but I was also sensing it. But I didn't even need discernment because you could see that he's not where he once was. But I told him that don't worry, because if you're going to build a building that is 20 stories, do you know how those buildings start? They will go and put a chivati like this. And then you pass and there is nothing happening. But there is a lot that is happening. Amen? So when you pass, you're just seeing a chivati, you know, those iron sheets at the side. But deep down, there is actually a lot of construction going on. Now, that's how so many people are with God. People see you and they just see iron sheets. But they don't know that there is a lot of construction that is happening in you by God. Amen? But now if you wait long enough, then you will see the first story, then the second story, then the third, then the fourth, then the 15th, then the 20th. Then you say, hey, they started building. No, they didn't start building when you saw. They started building before you could see anything. Praise the Lord. Now, I told him, you're going through that period and it's okay. Don't worry, you will soon be over with it. Then I told him something which excited him. I told him that, do you know the scripture which talks about the valley of the shadow of death? I told him, you know what the very next verse says? It starts, of course, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Eh? Then it says something else. But then the next verse says, you prepare a table for me in the midst of my enemies. So I told him, don't worry, that as soon as you come out of the valley, there is what? A table waiting for you. And now those guys whom you're running away from, because they saw you once when you were Munene and now you are kind of beaten by life, don't worry, those are going to be the enemies who will surround you when God has done what? Prepared the table for you. So I told him, relax. You just pursue. Because now I knew that he came to this side of God, then he wants quick fixes. You know that, eh? And Savida, you know, do this, then the quick fix doesn't work. Then he says, ah. Then he goes back. Then he hammers him the other side. Then he comes here for another quick fix. It doesn't work. Then he goes back. Then eventually he settles and says, let me stick around here. And now that is the beginning of God's work in him. Eh? Now I told him that, don't worry, when the stories start coming, eh, people see the first story, second story, then they will know what God has been doing all along. Eh? Praise the Lord. And then also, by that time, he himself will have changed and will have come to the complete conviction that his life is in God. Because there are so many people, I see some of them even here. There's one whom the Lord was telling me to kind of prophesy to before even I started preaching. Who they are here, but they don't have the conviction that their life is in God. And they have so many things apparently going for them. And they, you know, want to make this work, fix this and do this. And they are not convinced that actually their life is in God. And now, where we are going right now, if you have the slightest doubt that your life is in God, you are going to be shaken, because the shaking that is coming is going to be mega, absolutely mega. I'm talking about across the world. You have to hold on to a truth, because the lie is going to want to be so strong that you have to hold on to truth. And I have known, of course, from the scripture, what Jesus said, where your treasure is where your heart is. You cannot come here and you don't feel that what is being said here has any input on how you earn your living or what your future is, and you say that actually your heart is here. It is not. Praise the Lord. It is not. It cannot be. Until you're convinced, like I am, that without this, I am absolutely nothing. That is the only guarantee. Because I know if I even shifted a bit from this, the next day you look at me and go, okay, I would even say the shine has gone, but it would be worse than that. Amen? Now, that is guaranteed, because I know without this, I have nothing. And by this, I mean, you know what I mean by this. Eh? I have absolutely nothing. Now, whichever lie you bring clothed as truth, I will look at it and know I can't go down that road, because I know what has created the life that I have. Praise the Lord. Now, some people actually have to convince themselves that when we come to church, it is not just about coming to hear the word of. And now, you know, of course, I went through all that thing of where you have your job, you have, you know, things which work, you have your plans and so on. But of course, you're a believer, so you go to church on Sunday, and yeah, but you kind of have a secular life and a what? And a church life. Praise the Lord. And those two don't mix. And I don't even mean it that when you're in your secular life, you do something bad. No, I just mean that you don't see that the church infringes on this. Glory to God. That's why, and then you don't realize that all the time, the words that you expose yourself to in places like this, where you're seated and listening, actually are shaping you into something. Amen? Now, when you constantly come here and constantly listening to me, you are my followers. Amen? Now, let me tell you this. You remember what Jesus told Peter? When Peter was saying, get away from me, you know, your words are holy, what? He told him, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You remember that? Now, you can even remove fishers of men. You can say, follow me and I will make you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There is something that I'm going to make you. And let me tell you, I have somewhere I'm going. You understand? I have big dreams. Glory to God. And when I get to those big dreams, I'm going to get there with some people. Others will not be there. Praise the Lord. You see, some people don't actually believe these things, but it's okay, you don't have to believe them. But those who actually do believe, you understand? Just by hearing. Remember Jesus, that you're already clean because of the words that, you know, he told that to the disciples. For you're already clean because of the words that you've heard. Can you imagine like a system where you listen, and you're becoming. Glory to God. I remember one time when they when they arrested me some years ago. I think now about 4 years ago. Then I was there in the cell. Then those guys came and told me, "You come later, your people are outside here disturbing us, what?" Then the next day, I saw, okay, after they had released me, because there is no phone, no nothing. They only have to tell you. I saw Miriam here. They're releasing, what? And I'm saying, man, like, and she's talking to soldiers who have guns. I said that somebody is being made into a brave person. Praise the Lord. You cannot follow me and you're timid. Because I am not. And I cannot be, praise the Lord. Yeah, and now, plus other things. Glory to God. Because you see, there are people who fear to take risks. Now, when I meet somebody who fears to take risks, I know this is not my follower. Because I live by risk. That is who I am. Okay? Now, I could as well say, follow me and I will make you a risk taker. But the key thing is, you cannot expose yourself to certain words and they do not affect you. It's impossible. But let me even tell you, even in normal life, I remember I wrote something about how some homosexual groups were actually paying people to fight homosexuality. Yes. Secretly. Fight it. And then they were also paying others to what? To defend it. Why? Because they want you to continue hearing it. Because there is something called the law of continuous exposure. When you are continuously exposed to something, something which was unthinkable, starts becoming, yeah, it's okay. Because for me, I'm not. But you see, they have shifted you from point A to point B. The first step is for you to accept. Because there are certain things which were totally unacceptable. Like, for instance, when we grew up, like, you can't even talk about it. It's even not subject of debate. Like, how do you talk about that? But you see now, slowly, now they will pay somebody to come and say, we don't want. Then another says, no, we want. Then the net effect is somebody somewhere is hearing about what? That thing. And then something which was very unthinkable suddenly becomes, yeah. The next thing, even you tune a movie, and there is something like that, and you're like, but it's a nice movie. Okay, just ignore that part. Which, how do you ignore it? You've already been desensitized. You understand? And you'll gain the data. Not that you'll end up there. Yeah? Not that you're going to end up there. Yeah? You know what this Baganda say? That what? What do Baganda say? You know when you're kugenderera, they say ngo mukadda koga. When an old woman starts growing small, you know that might not be good. You know where that is heading. So, but of course, if you're young and you grow small, you can get back your weight. But now, if an old woman starts growing small, they say, where is this going? And my point is, when you continue and expose yourself to certain words, good or bad or indifferent or whatever, they affect you, and you have to know that, and you cannot change that fact. It's a law. I'll tell you this, even, let's say, I know people, believers, girls, who ended up getting married to a Muslim guy. those years of ours, and now they are like wife number one of like six or seven. But how did it start? If you are not going to date a Muslim guy, don't listen to him. If you listen to him, you will end up with him. Love continuous what? If he comes and says, we go for coffee, say, no, I'm not going with you. Don't say that. I just go for coffee, but I can't end up with him. Who told you? You'll end up there. And that's the truth. Like, if you decide, this is not the kind of person I want to end up with, so I have no time to listen to what you're saying. Amen? Hey, unless he's giving you a business proposal and it's a business deal. But you know when a man meets a, you know what's the, a Jevigwera. So, now you have to know that, that's not my kind of man. End of story, I'm not interested. So we go for coffee? No, it's okay, I'll go and drink coffee alone. Now, my point is, you know what I'm saying. Eh? Now also, it also works the other way. Eh? So you come here, you listen, and I'm making you into something. The only thing is I'm making you into something good. Praise the Lord. And now that is it. Follow me and I will what? And some of you think following means just what? Following means doing the things which somebody does. Praise the Lord. When you're following somebody and he says, I did this, do it also. Amen? Like somebody comes and says, you know, the other day, it was going to rain and I stopped it. There's the same I said something about moving in the rain and it doesn't beat you. Now, there was only one follower that day. She came with a testimony of how she jumped on a border board and even told the border border guy, the rain is not going to beat you. And she arrived dry in the rain. Now, that's possible. But you can hear, it's a nice story. But then if you're a follower, like a follower, when you hear it's not a story, you say, eh, what did you do? Now, like the other day, I told people about multiplying money. Amen? About doing what? Now, some people actually, but that time there was no follower. I can see. There was no follower. But you just get, I told somebody, I even gave the person the first $100. And I told him, go and sit down and turn this into $1,000. The day you do it, you will know that you don't have to be broke. Now, I would not tell the person if I have not done it. The first time I did it, it's even Utuama who brought the $1,000. I had $100. I put it there and looked at it. Then imagined $1,000. Imagined it multiplied by 10. Just in my imagination. And I put it on a table like this. And just imagined. And I was seeing $1,000, not 100. Then I imagined. After some time, I felt, I think now this is done. And I said in 24 hours. It was a night, a Tuesday night. On Wednesday at around 5 p.m., he brought for me $1,000. And he doesn't know how I got him to bring that money. Then I said, now 1,000, I'm going to make it 10,000. I will not tell you who brought that one. But they did. Praise the Lord. Now, if you're a follower and not just a listener, then you try it. The principle that does it is the same. It's inside you. Praise the Lord. If you fail, try again and again until it works. Like, the problem is you try once and then you chill. Whereas if it was anything else, you would do it over and over again. Amen? But if it is something spiritual, people have a short fuse for spiritual things. Man, chiganye. Then you go back to your natural means. But what if you actually pull it off? What if? What if you actually pull it off? Praise the Lord. Now some of you are saying that, yeah, you know, he was going to bring the money anyway. Okay. Let him bring it to you. Let him bring it to you. Now, you see, when you follow, you don't just listen. Like you do, you listen. What did you do? How? Also, now there are some people who, true followers, who shifted houses when we shifted offices. Amen? But some others stayed in their old houses. Praise the Lord. Amen? Hey. Now, those are not followers. Those are people who just hear. You can actually be transformed by words. If a girl can be transformed into a Haji's fourth wife with words, she can also be transformed into somebody who multiplies money with words. Amen? Or if I said, one day, somebody had me saying that, talking about rain and so on. So I just told a story how I was somewhere at a party, and it was coming to rain, so I said, don't worry, let me go and stop this rain. Then they laughed at me. But it didn't rain. But let me tell you something. We have open air all throughout the year on Friday evening. How come it never rains? Have you ever heard that the watchman didn't happen because of rain? Don't you ask yourself there's a reason why? Why does it rain on Friday at 7 p.m.? And we say we've cancelled due to rain, or we are going to get a tent. We are not. And we've been doing this for how many years? Yes, and there's not once when we've cancelled. Now, shouldn't that tell you something? So now, if you are a follower, you can do it. You just say, also me, I'm going to stop this rain. And by the way, the Spirit of God will be with you. Amen? Hey, the Spirit of God will be with you. Now you go to Philippians 4:9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Praise the Lord. The multiplying money which you had from Kableta, you do. And Kableta will be with you? No. God. The God of peace will be with you. Now, actually, now that I've said it, tonight I'm going to multiply money. Praise the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. If you live by the means of the world is becoming messed up. Thoroughly messed up. Today they will say, banks have what? Your money is in this. You leave that system. I'm telling you, there is a better system. Now, you follow me and I will make you people who do not need that Babylonian system. And people who can wake up and plan for something without any thinking that it is dependent on that system, that Babylonian system. Not none whatsoever. None. So, it is either you just sit and listen, which is actually also not bad, because after some time, you know, or you actually say that, you know what, but why can't I also do that? Amen? Now, me, I've been a follower for a long time. So I hear people saying, what did you do? Okay. You did what? Okay. Let me try it. Some of them, you'd even take 6 months. Got nothing. Absolutely nothing. But man, when it happens, you see, you have to put a premium to it. If I can actually multiply money, is it worth spending 6 months trying to do it? Is it? So why do you stop after one failure? You try, I multiply this $100 to $1,000. Phew. The next day, the only person that comes to you is your landlord. But now you give up. Why? Try again and again until it works out. Then you stop coming with what? Now let me give you a secret. After you've multiplied that money which you're multiplying, bring it to me as a seed. After you've multiplied it, that $100, I did not eat it, I gave it as a seed. Praise the Lord. Hey, now you think I'm asking for a seed? No, I cannot multiply mine. But I'm helping you to do what? By the way, I didn't even come to talk about this. I'm just finding myself going here. But my point is, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. Those are very, very powerful words. Because all across the world, there is somebody they are following. And that person is making them something. Praise the Lord. Something good or bad. Let me tell you, you can't be there. We are all born to be followers. We are all following somebody. And that person, I remember, there's some gentleman who used to like writing. He was an enthusiast for writing. And he would read and so on. So I knew him because his mother used to go to the same church as I did. So one day he came and met me, and he was so excited to see me. He said, you're one of the best writers. I read all your things and so on, and so on and so forth. But then, I didn't give him a lot of time, which perhaps was a mistake. But then eventually he became a follower of another writer who says he's atheist. And also this guy also eventually became atheist. When I met him, he was a Muslim. But because the person he was following is an atheist, he also became what? An atheist. So I would see him there on social media arguing how, you know what, you know, if God is what. And I said, now this is a guy whom I could have made follow me, and he would also be saying Jesus is Lord and so on. But I didn't know at the time. And it's a hook, something small. That's why the world gives you people to follow. Barack Obama. He's making you something. Amen? And like, not you I'm talking about. Of course not you. But you see, you follow him, he's making you something. And then you read his tongue, listen to his things, what, you know? And then you have this sense in your mind that when he says something, that's what I take as gospel truth. And then suddenly, he's making you something. And now those people have followers across the world who they are turning into themselves. And that's why the devil puts them on a high pedestal somewhere, so that they can get followers whom they will turn into the evil people they are. Okay? And so on and so forth. Now you see, the things that you had in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. Praise the Lord. Not me. I'm not there when you're multiplying the money. But God, the things which you had and learned and received and saw in me. Now you see, there are people, and I was talking on radio with Akena here, about people who think that they can receive online. You can't. It says here people who have learned. You can learn online, but you cannot receive online. Receiving is actually, you know, about being in communion with something. You can hear, you can learn, but you cannot receive. And there are some things which you can never learn. You only receive. There is no way you can learn. You just receive it. Imagine if somebody told you that he's going to teach you how to prophesy. He's lying. You either receive it or you don't have it. Amen? You can't learn that when you see somebody who looks like this, then it means that it's impossible. There are some things which cannot be. Even somebody cannot teach you prosperity. He can only teach you some laws. But ultimately, you receive it. It is passed on. And then you become something. Praise the Lord. So now you go and listen. And then we'd put our things on Facebook. Then somebody say, yeah, I hear all your messages. But it's not going to transform you. It cannot. But it's good you hear, but cannot transform. The transformation power comes in corporateness. Okay? There is something about you sitting down and me talking to you the way it is right now. It is a passing on of something. If I was a fake person, I would be giving you fakeness. Praise the Lord. If I'm a person who can multiply money, I would be giving you what? Now, if somebody comes with a testimony, then I will know that we have some followers here. You know, we don't want to just hear, always learning, but never coming to what? So the knowledge of the truth. Something has to birth something in you, and you say, no, I'm going to do that. That's something like I'm going to do. And then you try and fail and try and fail. I hope you succeed the first time. But even if you don't, praise the Lord. Somebody was telling me the other time that there is a house I want, which I want. It is so powerful, has a nice balcony and what. But I'm expecting the money in 2 weeks. I hope they don't take it. I said, don't hope. What's wrong with you? Just go and enter the house and say every place that I've set my foot is mine. Even if it takes 3 months, the house will be there. Until you release it and say, I got a better one. Now somebody else can take it. If you don't try, it will not happen. Now, how do you know you have this ability? By trying. There was a time I was chasing something and I went to court. And there was this powerful, you know, and that was some years ago, this powerful judge who was supposed to sign on to a document. And I needed it. So I went there and I sat there. And they told me, she's in court session. So at first I said, I can wait. But then something crossed my mind and said, why should I wait? Seeing as I am who I am. Praise the Lord. So I started saying to myself, that court session ends now and she signs my document. She can continue the court session afterwards. I tell you the truth. She called for a recess in the court, signed my document, and went back. Now, if I had not tried, I would not know I have that ability. Now, you go and sit in the house and say, okay, I haven't got money, eh? But I like this one. And say, now nobody is going to take it. And see, nobody's going to take it as I wait to multiply this money and get rent. Eh? Yeah. No one is going to do what? To take the house. Just say it. If it doesn't work, if you come and find it, try it again. The day it works, you know that you're not a joking subject. You understand? You know that you can call somebody out of a court session and say, come and sign here. I don't have time to waste. Praise the Lord. And actually, that time, I was trying out so many things. This was some years ago. Because I remember, you know those things where they tell you, go and pay in the bank for a document you need. Diamond Trust Bank. It was like 12:30. And I knew those government workers, when they go for lunch, you're going to wait up to 3:30. And I didn't want to wait up to 3:30. So I said, no, just go and pay in the bank, come back and show the receipt here. Then they give you this document. So I said, okay, this person who is not going to go for lunch until I come back. Then I rushed to the bank. I paid the money. I came back. And then she was, you know, fidgeting and said, the situation is, later, maybe no one. Stamped, then signed, received. They say, Ebane, sawaza lunch is I say nada. Let me go for lunch. And I'm telling you the truth. They waited for me, and then it was like 1:30. Then remembered, hey, you have to go for lunch. But I knew if I wait, like after lunch, they don't come at 2. You know, it's government workers. So I say, hey, okay, wait for me there. I am coming. Don't move. In the spirit, praise the Lord. Now, if you don't try it out, you will never know that you have that ability. Praise the Lord. You didn't come here for us. You know, this Bible says this and this and this. There's so many things it says. Eh? But we come here to teach you how to live like a modern day believer. With the power of a believer. Praise the Lord. You see, the people of darkness know these things. They exercise them. And they have very limited power. But they know how to exercise it. I remember my brother once told me he was working in a ministry somewhere. And by ministry, I mean like government ministry. And there was this lady who was a tea lady. But obviously, she was using witchcraft because everybody was scared of her. People would not even cross her path. You know, somebody who is supposed to send for tea, but people are scared of her. They would give her money and she's supposed to go and buy coffee and, you know, tea and needle and all that and make sure all the time big people can take coffee when they want to take coffee. But now the thing is, she would get the money and not buy it. And then even the permanent secretary would say, I want some coffee. Get me some coffee. Sir, there is no coffee unless you give us money and we go and rush downtown and buy. He says, who is supposed to buy coffee? That's the other lady. Hey, okay, it's okay. You go and buy. Even the permanent secretary is scared of her. And she's just using simple witchcraft. Like, how can somebody who uses witchcraft have that power to dominate people? And you, as the power of God, you're there behaving as if you're subject to the systems of this world. You know, there was a guy who, did I say that here or somewhere else? Have I told you that story before? No, okay. I said it at partnership. Okay, you know, I'm 33 years old. Eh? My spiritual age. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? All of us are how old? No, there is no 18. All of us are 33. The age of Jesus, unless you're not born again. At the cross. Eh? Praise the Lord. Do you know the other day I was reading? Eh? I was reading Caleb saying that when the Lord said, when they sent the 12 spies to go and spy the land, and the Lord said that Caleb and Joshua will enter the promised land. Later on in the scripture, when Caleb is speaking, he says that when the Lord said that we shall enter the promised land, I was 40 years old. And he stopped aging there. So the 40 years for the other people, the rebellious people to die, for him he was still 40 for 40 years. Then he says, now I'm 80 years, just in counting. But I still have the same strength and the same energy that I had when the Lord said, for you're different. Now, because if he had entered the promised land when he's old, he would not enjoy it. And yet for him, he was not rebellious like the others. So God says, okay, let me put a pause on your age and let these ones first age and die. Then now when they have aged and die, then I can press play again on your age. Praise the Lord. Now, if that can happen in Old Testament, who says it can't happen in New Testament? We have a better covenant, praise the Lord. There is nothing that is better in the Old Testament than what we have now. So if that can happen, somebody can even pause the age, pew, 40 years. Then he enters the promised land when he's 40, but 80. Praise the Lord. Anyway, let me go back to what I was saying. Some gentleman whom I met who stood for MP, you know, I met him somewhere, I was having dinner. Come and told me, man, you man, eh? I see what, you know, so he wanted to talk politics and so on. Of course, he flunked. Eh? Now, not of course, but okay, he didn't go through. Eh? But he loves politics and so on. So he came and, you know, he wanted this conversation. Then he told me when I went to the field, I convinced people, you know, guys, I would tell them what, you know, and he's somebody who can talk and so on. Then he told me that there was somebody came and told him that if you want these people to vote for you, if you want these guys to vote for you, you go to the other guy there, sending him to a witch doctor. That you go to the other guy and talk to him, these guys will vote for you. The guy said, no, Zemba Matiza. Like they have, I mean, spoke to them and they are what, you know? Then even the witch doctor himself came and told him, do you want me to give you those people? You come and we talk. The guy said, that's your rubbish. I don't need to talk to you. Guess what happened? The people who were carrying him voted for somebody else. Now, you see, when you understand spiritual things, you know that this man says, I can give you those people as if they are cows. And when you exercise spirituality, people actually can become cows. I'm telling you. I mean, because the man says, Njabakua. And if you accept, you give them. You understand? Eh? Now, if he doesn't, they will say, eh. When the election comes, they will vote for somebody else. Now, as far as he's concerned, he has control over those what? Those people. You think it's a myth? No, it's not. But you see, now Jesus said, you cannot plunder the house of a strong man unless you bind the strong man first. So if I went there and I wanted those people, I don't bother. I just bind this guy and the people will come running to me. I just sought him in the spirit because he has them. And you think, let me tell you, there are people out there with the intellectuals. And now those are the people I pity the most because they think that they are going to school, they're intellectual, they can reason this and that. Without spirituality, you are like a cow. Somebody will give you to whoever you want. I'm telling you. Somebody will say, I've given you to the other one. To the other person. And you see, when people know that they have spirituality, they can even say, and I've seen this. Somebody told me that she had gone somewhere to pray. And then some men were saying, a lady, that wange, like what? They are not planning to come and kuana you. No. They are going to sort you in the spirit. Eh? Now, and they say, they even discuss who is going to have. Can you see? Allow me to say, if you have no spiritual cover, they will take you. Praise the Lord. If you have no spiritual cover, they will take you. Intellect will help you nothing. Now, to demonstrate this to you, there was a story which was in the media the other day. Very interesting story. There is this guy in Bukunja, in Mukono, Bukunja. You know Bukunja? Eh? Bukunja Muchagwe. Bukunja. The guy. a lousy guy. He went and started a Facebook page and told nurses and doctors, only ladies, that you come and I will give you jobs. So people were applying what? Online. He would tell them to come for interviews somewhere in the village somewhere. And the guy was sleeping with all of them. And then, of course, they would find out later there is no job. There is no organization. Apparently, he was the head of some NGO and what. Now, when they eventually arrested the guy, the police told the nurses, how can you believe that this man has an NGO? But when somebody has messed you up spiritually, your doctorate degree is not going to help you. You are powerless. You are nothing. A kalauze guy in Bukunja is going to mess you up. You think school gives you any power? It just puffs up your head and makes you think that you know a lot. Now, the policeman was, it was in the media. The policeman was saying, but also you doctors. I mean, you're educated people. How can you accept that this man has an NGO which is going to employ you? And the doctors are there like, and the guy has messed them up. And I'm saying that about these people. And like, he can do anything. So now you go there. Now for you, if you go there, if you even, let's say we are deceived in your head, you go, there's nothing he can do because he knows that this is somebody also who has been, this is somebody who is also at a certain level. But these intellectuals, by the way, I pity those people. These people who think they are going to run their lives on intellectualism, they are the weakest, most, they are like sumbusas to be eaten. The power lies in spirituality. Otherwise, you'll be there with your, imagine a doctor, and the guy in Bukunja, the policeman looked at the guy and said, but what's wrong with you? Like, and it's a sign and a wonder. That a kalauze guy, a very, very lousy, I think his picture was also in the papers, by the way, a very lousy guy. But after I would sleep with them, you would send them back. Okay, go, we'll contact you if you got the job. Goodness gracious me, this world is interesting. Now, if you do not understand that when we come here and we are teaching people like things about actually practicing spirituality, not just saying, yeah, I'm born again, I have prayer. No, no, no. Practicing spirituality. You have to put it in practice in your normal life for it to have any impact. For instance, like that person was telling me, I haven't gotten money for the house. Just lock that house. Say nobody else is going to be interested in it until I have the money for it. But if you feel a bit, you say, okay, I've released it. Now, you try that and tell me if it will not work. It will work because you have that power. But you don't know you have it because you've not exercised it. Praise the Lord. Now, when we are actually telling people that the Christian life is not just listening to words, empty words, empty words, empty words. Praise the Lord. You can walk into somebody's office. There was that chi guy who was called... He even died the other day. He was Museveni's prophet. That's Obu Sobozi. You know that guy from Chibare? You remember that guy? Like a deep spiritist. When he was going to Nairobi for treatment, the whole airport came to a standstill as if they were expecting the president of America because Museveni's witch doctor is going for treatment in Nairobi. The whole airport was paralyzed. The guy was flown in a chopper from Chibare to come and what? Anyway, that's beside the point. My point is, he started that thing of his in Hoima when I was there. There was a RDC who was so opposed to him. Actually, it wasn't even RDC that time. I think it was over S. They used to call them us Special District Administrator. But anyway, they would do the same things. So the guy was so opposed to him. This man deceives people. He tells people not to go to hospitals, what, you know, all those things. I know they had their thing. They would pray on 2nd, on 12th, and 22nd. Their thing was 2. And then they would put on white. So we'd see them in Hoima, people putting on white. I remember one time when, some friend of mine, who used to do door-to-door ministry, and some friend of mine went to preach a gospel somewhere to somebody who belonged to that man. Then they preached to them. Then, the lady was looking at him like this. You know when you know you're not making inroads, eh? Somebody is just listening to you, looking at you like this. Then he said that when the guy was leaving, like saying, this one, there is nothing here. He told him, let me ask you a question. Then he said, okay, ask me. That Bakatondo Manyiba Meka. They said, what do you mean? Then he said, I know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They said, you're wrong. Waluwechi tafe, omwana, omwoyo mtukuvu, no obushobozi. Now, anyway, back to my story. But those guys, they were convinced the guy is God. They were convinced he's God until he died and they buried him. Anyway, now, And his son died before him, by the way. His son was supposed to be his heir, died before him. I'm not saying that for nothing. Anyway, so I am only responsible for what I said and not for what you understood. Anyway, what I'm saying is this. That guy, there was that gentleman who was his what? Okay, I'll call him RDC, district administrator. The guy was fighting him, telling him not what he wanted to chase him out of. Oh, man, what? There was a big war going on. And the guy, I remember, was even called Obalim, the RDC. So one day after, Obalim had said, I don't want to see anybody, anything to do with this Mishaka here. One day the Chigai came in a white kanzwe, gandro like this, white. He was fat, the man was fat. He had eaten so many goats. So the Chigai came walking like this, like this, entered into the office of the RDC. Then the RDC is there. One day he sees the Chigai there. The Chigai says, how have I wronged you? He spoke on the Runyoro, Nkakurachi. Then the RDC says, no, what have I done? What? The next day, the RDC was also in white going to pray. I'm telling you the truth. He did not do anything. The guy just came in his glory. Now, the RDC became one of the most famous what? Followers of the man. Now, let me tell you. You are going into an office. Why don't you put on that glory that you have? Praise the Lord. Why don't you put on that glory that you have? Forget about that stupid glory of that man, you know, of the devil. Now, how about you actually psych yourself? Eh? And I'm telling you things which I've tried before. There was a time when I was, when I was a sports journalist, they put me on a DSTV package, which is called VIP, where I don't pay. But I get all the channels, even those that some people who pay don't get. Okay? So I was on VIP for almost 20 years. But now when I was a bit broke, I was no longer doing sports journalism. And now there was no justification for me to be there. Now I was doing these things of church and what. So one day the DSTV people called us and said, we want you to come and justify your VIP status. Now I said I'm in serious trouble. First of all, I don't have the money to pay DSTV, the package. Secondly, I don't want to go and watch football in public because I'll be watching football when I'm praying in tongues and so on. And so I said, now what am I going to do? So I decided, that was 2014, I'd just started the Watchman Ministries. So I decided I'm going to go in the glory of the Watchman. I really went. I reached there, even psyched myself that now they are not going to see Kablator, they are going to see what? The Watchman. So I entered inside. Now I'm telling you the truth. So I was there with some top media personalities, who some of you would know. So they were quizzing all of them. So you tell us, why should you still be? Yeah, you know, I cover Big Brother, what? You know, I knew. They say, okay, for you, it's okay. Now, I just sat there and looked at them. Then eventually the lady looked at me and said, Mr. Kablator, for you it's okay, you can go. Yeah, we know what you're doing. She was calling all the others by their names. I'm the only one she called Mr. Mr. And now you see, if I went there now, maybe you'd think yes. But I'm telling you, I went there when I was watching. But I just put that thing on. Say, Mr. Kablator, it's okay. I stayed on that program until I decided, now I have enough money to pay for it. I don't want freebies. So she called me and told me that we are reviewing. They would review it every year. I said, it's okay, you can take me off. Because now I had the money to what? To pay it. But before that, I went there and, Mr. Kablator, what do you think? Mr. Kablator, I said, I've messed you up. And I'm telling you the truth. And I just knew that if I wanted to continue, I would even be on VIP up to now. When I'm doing nothing for them, just messing them up in the spirit. And I could do it. But now there is no need. Because how much do you pay for DSTV? Premium. Eh? I don't even know. Praise the Lord. But I'm on, but anyway, I hope you're learning something here today. So now, let's not just be churchers. You know, people who are, you have power. Exercise that power in your life, in your actual life. Until it has been exercised in a way where you can see it, you will never know what you can do. Praise the Lord. I told you the other day how I how I told the what? The other DC that, okay, I'm going to fire you. Eh? But then the guy started becoming repentant. But okay. Because I have other things to do. Then I started even having one. Because he's the second one I would fire in that same place. The first one, I told you, he was messing up our program. We stopped the program. So I gave him chance, you know. He refused, so I fired him. Actually, I said that, let them transfer him from that place. But it even came out worse. They produced a list of new RDCs and he was not there. He wasn't even transferred. So I told this one that first find out why the other guy whom you replaced, how and why he left. And I was among people. I said, okay, Kasta, you've heard. Now, they are going to go and think that I have connections with government. I don't. I don't need any connections with government. I can fire him today, and in 1 week you'll hear they have changed that RDCs. I can promise you that. And you'll hear that he's not there. And the person who makes the changes has no authority to. Once I have done it, he will have to do it. You think I'm joking? Anyway, let me not say that. But the point is, if I had not practiced this all along, I would not know that I can do this. Why is this person disturbing me? I can do this. But of course, with love, eh? Why is this person doing this? I can do this. Now, there is not a single person here who does not have the ability to do exactly what I'm telling you about. The only difference is you've not practiced it. So you don't know that you can do it. Glory to God. Now you are going to practice it today. Today I'm just giving you things to practice, which by the way I did not even think about when I was coming here. I came here apparently to talk about other things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our God is not a dormant God. He's not God of just talking about. We have to demonstrate God. Your God is as powerful as what you will demonstrate. Now, people who are serving a fallen angel are demonstrating, and people who are serving the living God are being weaklings, cowards, and things like that. That is not what God called us to be. Some of you here are new. You know, how many people are attending Watchman for the first time? This is your first time to be here. Don't. Okay. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to cause you to come here. This is not a church. That, yeah, if you're the first time to come here, come and say hello to us. Come here, as you will. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah! No. I just want to know. So if you are the kind of person who is used to our normal church, man, for us, we are tired of normal church. Praise the Lord. We are people of power. Of power. Eh? And we demonstrate our power. Nobody is going to touch this until I'm ready for it. Glory to God. There's a friend of mine who he was in a certain piece of land. That's where he had his ministry. So, during COVID, he was paying monthly for the place, a very prime place, monthly. So during COVID, of course, there was no gathering. So he presumed that the landlord is going to know that since there is no gathering, he's not paying. Imagine like if 2 years like of COVID, there is no church, and then I come here and they say, no, you have to pay for the time you were not here. But I wasn't here. So the man told him, pay 200 million for the time you were not here. Now, of course, what he wanted, because when he got to that prime location, so many people were interested in it, but it had a problem. It was haunted. Everybody would try to do anything there, either rain mad, one committed suicide, So the place was there in a very prime place, but nobody would touch it until he came and he cleansed it. And then he even brought these people to come and grade the place. And they said, because man, how would your people even commit suicide and what? He said, no, don't worry. Nothing is going to happen to you. So he covered them. So they came and did the thing and nothing happened to them. And he came and started fellowshipping from there for some time. Now, when COVID came, and he, so he's not fellowshipping, so this guy is, I'm going to say, pay for all the 2 years you've not, almost 2.5 years you've not been fellowshipping. He says, it's okay. You keep your place. So he left and went to another place. Nobody. This man wanted a way of, because they had the contract, he wanted a way of chasing him away. Because the other people had told him they were interested in the property. Not a single one of them, since lockdown ended, not one person has occupied that place. Now the man who owns the place came and told him, "Echifo change wachiroga." He said, "You want your place? There it is." He moved away. How many years since lockdown ended? It ended January of what? Like almost coming to 1.5 years. Nobody. Everybody who comes and asks does not come back. Comes and asks does not come back. So he told me now, even if I went with half the price which I was paying before, he will gladly take it because nobody is going to occupy it. But at the time he wanted that money, I didn't have it. But let the place be there. Let me first build my ministry until I have it. Now that's what they call power. Amen? Yeah. Prime location. When he was there, people thought it was easy. They told me they would come at night and they find Indians running naked, like going around the place. But now he's not there. The guy who owns it says, everybody who comes, I've tried to sell it, I've tried to lease it, I've tried to do what? Nothing. Nobody's interested. Glory to God. Now, that is how you live your life as a believer. Do not be subject to the rules of this world. You are above them. Jesus put you above them. You have that power. The difference between those people of the enemy and us is because for them, someone, as soon as he has just done something small, the next day he's practicing. You see, eh? So when he grows and grows, he becomes very confident in the things they practice. Then they can even tell you, hey, there's somebody who told that he went to buy some land somewhere and the guy wanted to cheat him somewhere in Busoga, deep in the villages of Busoga. Then he said that, you've refused to give me that money. Let's see if you're rich. Eh? You're going to get an accident. The guy laughed and laughed. I said, accident? Then he laughed and laughed. He said, okay, let's wait and see if I'll get an accident. But now some of you would be scared. Then you call, Papa, pray for me. This guy. But now, how can a witch? Like, are you kidding me? Somebody declares something to you. You have the power to declare something bigger than him. Amen? So he said, Togena Kolachino. He said, hey, okay, let's wait and see. Praise the Lord. I've had so many people telling me things like that. Eh? I said, okay. So you've refused to do this. Let's wait and see. I said, okay, let's wait and see. Praise the Lord. So now, if you're the kind of person who would be scared, you say, you're going to get an accident. Then you drive at 40K. You don't know who you are. Amen? You don't know who you are. Now, I am here to tell you who you are, what you have, and what you can do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Amara The Palace, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.